Okay, this morning we'll be in what?
Chapter
2 of Romans. Okay. There is some... The book of Romans, and I've taught it on several occasions, but every time I teach it, there's just more and more. You get a different flavor. You just get a little different view, a little more in-depth of something. And the book of Romans is a powerful, powerful writing. I don't think people give it the due as much power as written in this book. But I really enjoy it. So... I'll begin by reading it. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemnest yourself, for you that judges does the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such things, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But after the hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged through the law or by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew and rest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that yourself are a guide to the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You therefore which teaches another, teachest thou not yourself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, did I say it right? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now let's go back and see what it says. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. Literally, the word is indefensible, okay? If you go back to the chapter we just finished in chapter 1, verse about 19, here's the reason why you're indefensible or inexcusable. Because God gave you everything you needed. It's there. So you got no... And he was talking to people who knew the law, didn't he? Talking to people that supposedly claim to be something, okay? He said, you're inexcusable, O man, or man-faced. And let me take you to the book of James real quick. James 1, 23, I think it is, 23 and 24. For if a man is a hearer of the logos or the word, he is not a doer. He is likened to a man beholding his natural or his Genesis face, his beginning face, in a mirror. Because he beholds or fully observes himself and goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he, it says he was, but literally should say what he is. He looks at himself, but he forgets who he is as soon as he walks away. That's the natural man, okay? And that's what he's talking about here. He says, you're inexcusable, O man. That's that human face, that carnal thinking man, okay? Whosoever, or all the ones that judge, okay, because wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you that judge, you practice the same things. You practice the same thing, you're condemning. It's just like I know in our court system around here, there's a particular judge that condemns people every day and puts them in jail for drug abuse. But I know a particular person that messes with drugs and he supplies drugs to that judge. And here's a judge sitting on the bench right in our system here. It's the same thing. You know, he's judging people, putting them in jail every day. You see cops doing the same thing. I got State Patrol friends that said they have parties every year and the State Patrol gets a drunk, they can't even see straight, and they get in the car and drive 100 miles driving home drunk. And that every day they arrest people for driving drunk. That's just what he's talking about. It's the same thing, but we're not concerned as much with the natural out there as we are the spiritual things. He's talking to people who are claiming to have some tie to God. And if you're judging somebody for being whatever they think is wrong, and then you're doing the same thing, what are you really accomplishing? You're condemning yourself, is all you're doing. You're not getting anything done. And condemnation is not any way to change anything, is it? It's not the way you get to somebody. You can't change your mind by condemning them. That's a proven fact over thousands of years of humanity.
Romans 8:1 says that.
There's no condemnation in Christ. Okay, in verse 2 it says, but, or, and we are sure, or we know, or we see, that the judgment of God is according to truth. Now, judgment of God, everybody, first thing they look at is what do they think when you say that God's going to judge us? They think negative, 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 don't they? But God's judgment, I know what God's judgment is because Jesus told us on the cross, Father, forgive them. Okay? And he was talking about humanity, the whole of the world. He's already forgave those sins, but we still need to walk some things out, to learn some things, to understand some things. But the judgment of God is not a negative thing. Anything God does is to correct us. It's not punitive, it's corrective. So they don't understand it, so they see it in negative. But it's according to the truth against them which habitually practice such things. When they do these things that we know are not right, continue, there's some things going to backlash. But the new covenant is not this. It's not punishment. In Galatians 6, and I'll read that just so I'll get it correct. 7. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Because whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall reap the life of the ages. Okay. That's what it is. So God didn't say he's going to punish us for eternity. He said, now in this lifetime, if I continue smoking when I shouldn't be smoking, guess what's going to reap from it? Maybe lung cancer, COPD, blah, 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 all these other diseases, heart attacks, strokes. You know, I'm reaping from it.
Or if I think wrongly in my heart.
If I think wrongly about something, I'm going to have some issues there too.
No, you think that's more the law he's talking about?
Yeah, but I'm talking about reaping, so I'm just using the external to talk about the internal. So all these things, whatever I do, if I hate somebody, what am I going to reap?
Hate.
I'm going to reap hate in my life. It's going to be like a cancer that eats you up. So that's the things we have to watch. Whatever we're doing, the same thing is going to come back at us.
Well, it'll be depressing.
It'll be depressing, I'm sure. In verse 3 it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man," that's that natural man, the natural thinking man, not the spiritual man. And didn't Paul write in Corinthians, a natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it's spiritually discerned. "That judges them which do such things, and you do the same thing, that you shall escape the judgment of God." It's not really the punishment of God, it's the law of reaping and sowing. God said it, if you sow it, you'll reap it. If you plant corn, you're not going to get beans or potatoes. You're going to get corn. So what you sow is what you're going to receive out of life. So don't be complaining when you sow those seeds, see? Watch what you sow. Okay. "Or despise thou the riches," verse 4, "of his goodness." The word goodness here really isn't a really good interpretation. It should be riches of his integrity. Okay? You could say character, but it's integrity. "And forbearance," or tolerance, "and perseverance, not knowing that the goodness," and this word goodness here is a different word, and it should really say kindness. Okay? "That the kindness of God leads to" what? "Or changing of your mind." When you understand that God loves you and he's correcting you, he's not punishing you, he's not beating you up, he's not going to throw you in hell, but when what God does is a corrective measure, not a punitive measure, you're going to say, wait a minute, there's something to this. God really does care for me. He's not out to punish me. Someone's told me a bunch of lies that I believed. Now your mind is set in a position where it can be turned around and you can see the truth.
See, doing about face.
You will, because now you'll see, I'm not being punished for anything. God does love me. Then the thinking starts working, you know. But he said, "But according to the hardness," or the stubbornness, "and impotent," and the word impotent here actually means unchanging heart. And what's the heart represent?
The mind.
The mind. So the unchanging mind, you treasure up yourself wrath, or it's literally passion, in the day of wrath, and that word wrath there is passion again, "and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Now, you know, if you could even put it into something that the average person understands, when they say the wrath of God and the revelation of God's, let me say it again so I can see it, the revelation of his righteous judgment of God. See, they still think righteous judgment means God has to punish everybody. I've been told that by many people. God has to punish them. No, he doesn't have to punish them. Okay? But that's what they believe. But it says here, against the day of passion and revelation of the righteous. You get a revelation of the righteous judgment of God, you realize it's not punitive. It's corrective. When you see that, someday down the line, these people that have been throwing this garbage out, that unchanging heart, the ones he's talking about in this verse, when that comes back around, they say, oh my God, I've lived my life with the wrong view of my Father. How would that feel? I've wasted my life with this unchanging, unforgiving, you know, unrelenting misery that I've lived in because I believed the lie and not looked at my Father with an open mind. My heart and my mind wouldn't change. He said, I just stored up all this pain and suffering for no reason. Carried it around till it killed me. But someday they're going to see the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And the righteous judgment is this. He said, Father, forgive them. And do you think for one moment that Jesus said, Father, would you do this for me, that Father didn't do it for him? Because he spoke from the mind of Christ. And in that mind of Christ is the mind of the Father. Same thing, isn't it? If you've seen me, didn't he say you've seen the Father? So whenever he asked for it in the same nature and character that God himself would have said. So how could the Father not answer or respond to that request? So when he said, Father, forgive them, there's no doubt in my mind that at that very instant, the forgiveness flooded the earth. Okay, verse 6. Who will render, or literally give, to each man, to each according to his deeds? He's going to give it, but it's now in his lifetime. It doesn't say after you die, you get to go to this place and wait until a certain time and then you get punished. It doesn't say any of those things, does it? But But that's what the preachers have read into it. It does not say those things. To them who by patient continuance, and that's literally cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance means you went through a lot of crap and you still smiled. Okay? Even though they were dumping on you, you were smiling. And in well-doing or good works, seek for glory and honor and immortality. The word immortality is not a correct rendering of this Greek word. It should be incorruptibility. Come to a place of incorruptibility. Remember Paul said something about we become incorruptible, immortal and incorruptible. Mortality has to put on immortality, and corruption has to put on incorruptibility. Incorruptible, to me, in my understanding of what the Spirit of God has shown me, is my mind ain't going to be changed.
The way I see it is when Job says, though he has tried me, I shall come forth.
Yeah. Though he slay me, yeah, doesn't make any difference. No matter what goes on, I'm still going to see God is in that position of total authority in all things. And no matter what he deems necessary for my walk of life, it's okay. It's okay. But most people do a lot of complaining, don't they? But they look for that inchangeability. He said, when you come to that place of inchangeability, that's what you're looking for. And that eternal life is literally the ageless life. But to them, or the ones that are contentious and do not obey or literally believe the truth, but obey, and that word obey is a different word. It means persuaded to believe, but are persuaded to believe unrighteousness and indignation and wrath. They don't want the truth, do they? They would rather have the ways of the world of getting even and mad and all that stuff. That's not the way to go. It's just not there. And I see a lot of people that I have met over the years that have what I think is maybe a greater understanding of the word, but as I get to know the people, they have an intellectual understanding of the word, and it's maybe even the letter of the word, but they have, it sounds really good to the natural ear, but in their actions they get very angry and they hurt people and say hurtful things to people and justify doing those things. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. If I can't see Jesus being that heartless and hurt people, can you? And he's our pattern. And I see these people and it changes my opinion of them as being true men or women of God, because that's not the pattern that he showed us. He's a loving God, so why should I be nasty and mean to people? I just can't get there. Don't want to be there. How's that? I don't want to be there. I have been there. I don't want to go back there no more. I want to separate from that.
Did you say those obey, and there was two different words?
Yes.
What was the first one?
The first one means to believe.
Okay.
And the second one means to be persuaded to believe. But it's two different words, but they're roots of each other. Yeah. I don't remember the Greek word, but it's okay. But I got the meaning of them. Verse 9, it says, this continuation of verse 8, it says, tribulation, we know that's the word thlipsis, which means pressure, right? Pressure and anguish. Anguish means extreme affliction. Pressure and extreme affliction. Anybody ever had any of that? In our minds, ours is the worst in the world, isn't it?
Sure.
Because we're the only one going through it.
Yeah.
And so many times we look at it like, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, you're not. No, you're not. Everybody's got it somewhere. Everybody's got pressure. And God knows which pressure they need. And he's already got it taken care of, which one's going to come and get it. And if you don't get it the first trip around the mountain, he'll get one on the next trip around.
Which kind?
Yeah.
Work on them.
He knows what will work on each one of us and when, and the timing when we need it. Mm-hmm. Because if the things that come at us today had come at us 10 years ago, we wouldn't have survived.
So it has to bring that dross to the top.
Yep.
It's skimmed off.
But you don't want to destroy the gold in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to burn it up. Yep. It says tribulation, anguish, or a pressure and extreme affliction upon every soul of man. That's the man-faced versus the mind of Christ, right? That's not the natural man. That's the man-faced that does evil. Of the Jew first and also the Gentile. That covers them all, don't it? The Jews and the Gentiles?
That's the them.
Huh?
That's the them.
That's what they think. But when it says Jew or Gentile, when you get to the last part, do you remember what I read? He's not a Jew. It's one outwardly. It's inwardly. See? Not about the circumcision stuff. We'll get to there again in a minute. But well, he's talking. That covers everybody.
We're saying, Father, forgive.
Them. Oh, it's all of them.
Yeah, that's the them.
That's all of them. Okay? But glory, verse 10, honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. So the Jew, but we're not talking about the Jewish nation of people. Although religious people will say, no, he was talking about them people that live over in Israel. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are truly serving God, God's true sons and daughters. He said, to them first. They're going to get it first, and also the Gentile. Wouldn't that sound like first fruit? Verse 11 goes on, because there is no respect of persons in God. Okay? He's not going to treat somebody because they were born in the nation of Israel any better than the people that were born in the United States or China or Russia or anybody else. He's not going to treat them any different. Verse 12, because as many as have sinned, okay, or missed the mark without the law, shall also perish without the law. And as many as have missed the mark in the law shall be judged through the law. So the ones who don't have a law, they're just living and dying without the law. And the ones with the law will live and be punished by the law that they tried to live because they were being hypocritical about it. And see, it's not God punishing them. Who's doing the punishing? Man's doing the punishing. Preachers are doing it. Priests are doing it. You know, people are doing it to themselves. There's people committing suicide because they felt like they sinned and God would never forgive them, so they're ending their lives. It's happening every day around the world. Because someone said, oh, you've done something so terrible, you cannot be forgiven by God.
What was that word back here? Persuaded
to believe the law, the wrong stuff, see? And they've been persuaded. Verse 13, because not the hearer of the law are innocent before God, but the doers of the law shall be innocent. See? Doing the law, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, doesn't make any difference. If you're doing what's natural, and just like, and I've said it for years, people say, well, you got to get saved so God will come and live in your heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, from the very moment of conception of humanity on the earth, when God created Adam, he put himself in him and he became a living soul. So everything that came from Adam was the same as him. Seed produces like kind. Law of physics. You can't plant beans and get tomatoes. You got to get what you planted. And God planted himself in this earth that he created us out of. And he expects this earth to produce God out of him. All that seed he placed in him. He expects it to grow and mature into maturity. That's all he's trying to do. Not trying to, it's what he's doing. And people don't understand that. Where was I at there? 13? Okay, so once we realize that God's in there and we let God come out, what have we got to worry about? Okay. We've got nothing to worry about. All you got to do to get something to grow is put the seed in the ground, correct? What makes the seed grow? God. God, but see, God set up this pattern of the heat, the light, and the moisture, and the nutrients in the earth, right here. And he put himself in there, and it's going to produce what he expected it to bring forth. What he planted, it will bring forth. Is that correct? Okay. Because when the Gentiles which have not... Now, I went on. I went past 13. I shouldn't have been here. Here's the thing about verse 13. Not the hearers, but the doers. What would be another word for a doer? How about obedience? Someone obedient to the law. And didn't God say that he didn't want your sacrifice, he wants your obedience? Isn't that in the scriptures?
God wants obedience.
Okay. Let me read you James chapter 1. Let me get there just a second. I'll be there in just a second. Okay. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If you're just a hearer, what are you doing? Deceiving yourself. See? "Because if any is a doer, a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being a forgetful man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man of you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Pretty plain, isn't it? I'm going to give you some other verses here. I don't necessarily have to go read them. Hosea 6 and 6. And 1 Samuel 15:22, and Jeremiah 7:22 and 23. And I can't remember if one of them I do want to read. I'm going to look at that and see. 1 Samuel.
What was it, 15:22?
1 Samuel 15:22, yeah. Is that what I said? No, that's, I can't hear you.
It says about obeying the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I was looking in 2 Samuel for some reason. I said, that don't look right. Okay. 15:22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Okay. He's saying it's much better to be obedient than to follow all these rules and regulations that man has put on you. And maybe that other one, there was one there, he actually denied something.
What was Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 7:22 and 23. I missed it. Hang with me. I'm slow this morning. Okay. Okay, and Hosea says, "Because I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." There's still one more. Well, Jeremiah, is that the one you looked up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me get that one. Yeah. Very plain when he says it. Okay. And this is God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, "For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." He didn't tell them to do it, did he? Who came up with that idea? But this thing commanded I to them, saying, "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you."
They were making the golden calf as the law.
They was already had the golden calf in their head.
And there's some man that said, that's what God said, but this is what he really meant.
There it is, see? He said, I didn't tell you to do those things. They've been persuaded to believe the lie. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Okay, we left off with 14, right? "Because when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts." And didn't God say he wrote it in our hearts before the foundation of the world? It's already there.
Why does that have to be written like that? I mean,
why?
It's so confusing to some.
What?
Who has the law, but
no
law.
No, they don't have the law, but they have the law.
Honey, wait a minute. It was written thousands of years ago. That's the way people talk. Well, I'm just telling you, that's the way people talked, and that's what they said. They didn't have the eloquence of people learned how to refine religion and refine language, okay?
I think that's what gets people.
It's King James language, yeah. Okay. But still, when you translate from their language to our language, it doesn't flow the same way. So it's a little more difficult. Now, I'm not going to beat up on the translators. Some of them, I think, did a good job. under the conditions, okay? Just under the conditions, they did a good job. What he was basically saying, the people who don't have the law, if they do what is incorporated in the law, then that's a law to them. That's all he's saying.
Like the doctrines that they do.
Yeah. You know, if I know to treat people right and treat people right without anybody telling me that, it's just the right thing to do, that's what he's talking about. You already have it in your heart, your mind, your thinking. Okay? And the people who have already been told that they have the law and we know what's right and wrong, but they do something else, he said, that's not good.
Okay, that's what I was looking at. It's like they wrote the law.
No, the law is talking about the laws of Moses and the Jews versus the laws that God wrote in our heart. We're reacting out of them. That's our law because it was written in our hearts.
The law of love, law of God,
yep,
opposed to the
laws of man.
Written word, yep. That's just do's and don'ts.
Right, just do and don't do. Do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want you to do. I want you to understand. Okay, verse 15. Which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. See, what you do is witness in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, or his mind, so is he. See, what's in you is what you're going to do. You're not going to be good to people if you've got a bad heart, a bad thinking process, are you? If you're selfish and greedy, you're not going to be good to people. You're going to do what's in there. And the same if you have a good mind, a mind of God, that God has written in your mind things to do, you're going to do those things.
You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sums us up.
Sure it does. Sure it does. Whatever God's put in your heart to do, that's what you're going to do. You think Judas Iscariot had a choice?
No, because it was already put in his heart.
It was put in his heart to do those things. So God needed it done, so he did it. You know what? Judas Iscariot was more obedient than most of the church world today. Okay? Now, it says, again, 15, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So, how many times in your life have you got ready to do something, and something spoke in your head? You shouldn't do that. Sure, that's the Spirit of God in you. That's what they're calling conscience. That's the Spirit of God in you talking to you. That he put something in there to keep you in check. Now, it didn't say you couldn't go beyond those boundaries, but you're going to reap what you sow when you go beyond those boundaries. And so many people, the church world says, well, you can't do anything good until you pray and ask God forgiveness and let the Holy Spirit come in you. You know, we were born with the Holy Spirit in us or we wouldn't be alive. Just like Adam had the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit. Everybody does, but everybody don't know what he's talking about yet, do they? Talking that foreign language to them.
Isn't that the violent decision?
Sure.
Remember that four-way stop sign that I talked about?
Yep.
That's what you're doing.
You come to a place when that Spirit speaks to you and says, do it or don't do it, and it could be telling you to do something as much as not to do, and if you need to do what you're instructed by your internal.
Yeah. Okay. Are you hearing God and are you obedient?
But you got to know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
My sheep know my voice. Okay, they hear his voice and another they won't follow.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge. Okay, see, everybody still thinks negative. But when God shall judge the secrets of the man face versus the mind of Christ through Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And I really like that, my gospel. There's a man writing this thing that said, this is my gospel. I am a part of this. And we have to come to a place where we say, hey, this is my gospel. This is my life. Paul said, hey, I count all things dung. It's all a bunch of crap that I win Christ. That's all it's about. It's Christ. It's not me. It's about none of this stuff. And he had the guts to say it. The other writers didn't say it. Jesus, I don't think, was permitted to say it at the time. But it was his gospel too. But it's our gospel. We have to be, if I'm part of this, if I'm part of Christ, people say, well, I'm part of the Christ, but they won't dare say, this is my gospel. The Christ and the gospel, what's the difference? The gospel is God's word, isn't it? His truths. So, I mean, you know, religion plays so many games on the mind, it's unbelievable. But anyway, that's my opinion of it.
Okay, and then verse 16,
yep.
After men,
yep.
After man faced, by.
Yeah, it's through.
He
Through, dia, dia. It's the word dia, through. He said, behold, literally, if, it's what it should be, if you are called a Jew, okay? If you're called a Jew and rest in the law and make your boast in God, that's what it should say. If you are called a Jew and rest in the law and make your boast of God and know his will or his purpose and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed, and that word instructed means by word of mouth through question and answering, you know, talking, out of the law, and are confident or are persuaded that you are a guide, you yourself are a guide of the blind. What would that mean, blind? Wouldn't it be ignorant? A light of them which are in darkness, again, ignorance. An instructor, this word instructor here is a discipliner. It's not the same as someone just teaching, but this is someone who is correcting somebody. Okay? And it could be physical, and that's what the church uses it as a discipliner. They punish you to get things straightened out. A discipliner of the foolish. Okay? And the word foolish literally means mindless, stupid, ignorant, and egotistical, rash, and unbelieving. It's a nice word, isn't it?
That's the church.
That's what it is. A teacher of babes. The word babe here is nepios. And even in the language of the Greek, it says a non-speaking, immature Christian. Okay? They've already got it tagged. They know it. Which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Have a form of knowledge and a form of truth. Well, you know, a form is kind of like a shadow, isn't it? It's not the reality. It's not the fullness thereof. So the church has these things and religion have these things, a form of knowledge, have some idea of knowledge, and they have some form, just a shadow of the truth, and they think it's enough.
And they'll fight you for it.
And they'll cut your head off to prove to you that they love you.
Wouldn't that be kind of a mixture of imagination?
Oh, it'd be a real conglomeration, a real mess of it. He said, you therefore, which teaches another, teachest thou not yourself?
Hey. What we were talking about earlier today, where don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
To live what you're saying.
If you don't live it, what's the point? How many times you heard me say, I'm kind of selfish in my study because I got to get it first. If I don't get it, how can I give it to anybody else? Isn't that true? I mean, I want it for me, and if I can get it, then I can give it to somebody else. But until I get it, I can't give you anything but confusion.
And people accept that.
And people accept that, see? If you can just baffle them with your BS, they're tickled pink. You just baffle them, you know?
Yeah.
Talk over their heads, and they, boy, that's neat. Yeah. And I've actually heard people walking out of churches saying this, man, that was a real message. What did he really say? I don't know. It was good, but it went over my head. But it was really spiritual. Because they didn't understand it, they said it was spiritual. No, it's not. It's a bunch of BS.
Just impressed.
They were impressed by his ability to speak. The silver-tongued devils.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 21. You therefore that teaches another, teaches thou not yourself? You that preaches a man should not steal, do you steal? He's putting a monkey right on their back. See, he's not talking to the worldly people here, is he? He's talking to people that's inside the system that say they're part of God's people. He said, if you're a Jew, you know, if you're called a Jew, then you should be walking like a Jew, shouldn't you? Living by the law.
That's nephew's leaders.
Yep. Babies teaching people. Babies teaching babies. Verse 22. You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Well, we have to say yes, because look at the church world today. How many preachers are running with other people's wives? You know, priests molesting children. All this stuff. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they know it. They know it. He said, you that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? Yes, they do. The people in preaching saying you can't have idols, but they got their idols, their motorcycles and their boats and their cars and whatever else things they got, their homes and whatever, they got all these idols in their life, and they're bragging about everything they have over the poor people.
But it's, you know, I'm trying to
go ahead.
Really take this inside.
Okay.
Is their religious thoughts that they
have. It is that, but I'm saying about at natural things too. Most people can see that the preachers are living in a natural world because all their stuff is external. Everything they're doing is external. There's nothing internal in the church. It's all about pointing fingers out there somewhere, isn't it? The church world says it's all out there, not in here. And it's in here. Okay, but you're right. It is supposed to be internal.
I'm not trying to argue.
I understand that.
I'm just saying, you know, if we're to be the spiritual man, what we do inside of us, that it's not whether I have a bigger and better motorcycle than someone.
No, I understand. That wasn't where I was going. How many times have you heard me say the greatest idolatry in the world is our thinking process? Huh?
Right.
See, and that's what it is. But I was using an example to show what the church world does. That's all I was doing.
Something recognizable.
Recognizable. Everybody can see.
Recognizable by someone that
don't know for sure.
Not as in tune to it.
You're right. That's what I was saying. Okay? But the greatest idol is our own thought process that we can't be wrong. Because if you think you can't be wrong, you're already deceived.
And I think that's what Paul is trying to bring out to these people.
Sure it is.
They think they were high and mighty in their ways.
He's talking to preachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not about out here.
No.
It's in here.
No, I would just use an example. That's what the world says is out there. The church world does.
That's where they're missing the mark.
Right. What did I leave off with?
End of 22.
Okay, I committed. I finished that. 23 then. You that makest thou boast in the law, through breaking your law, you dishonor God. Do you dishonor God? He said, don't you dishonor God when you break the law? If you say the law is what it's all about and then you go out and break the law, aren't you dishonoring God? Okay, in verse 24 it goes on and says, because the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it's written. He's saying, look, your actions, it's what's defaming God. In Isaiah 52 verse 5, it says the very thing, that that God's name is blasphemed through the actions of the religious Jewish priests that are supposed to be doing the things right. Okay, it's in Isaiah 52 5. So, he says, verse 25, and you know in verse 24 there, the word name is the nature and character of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, or the hypocritical people that's saying they're Christians or Jews or Catholics or Protestants or whatever they say they are. They say they're something special, and they act like that's something special with that label, but they don't live any differently than the worldly people, do they?
No.
That's the problem. Okay, verse 25 goes on, because circumcision profits, truly profits if you keep the law. If you live according to the letter of the law, it will bring profit to you. Okay? No one can do it though. But if you be a breaker or a violator or a transgressor of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. So you really don't have circumcision if you can't keep the law. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? So if I'm living, although I'm a Gentile, according to the scriptures, as being uncircumcised, and they're talking about physical, but that's not what we're talking about, the mind. If we realize that the mind is not circumcised by physical means, but by the hand of God, okay, up here in the head. If we realize that God's doing that, then it doesn't make any difference what's in the physical, does it, in the flesh. Right? There's a passage in Galatians 3 that I want to read. Galatians 5, verse 3. I said it backwards, didn't I?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Paul was dealing with people that thought that circumcision was everything, the physical circumcision. My mind's not there right at the moment, but I'm thinking. let me address that in a minute. Okay, remind me and I will address it in a second. Paul says in verse 2, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He's saying the physical circumcision won't profit Christ in you for anything. It was an outward showing of the this later on, the brain. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor or obligated to do the whole law. So if you want to be the physical circumcision, you've got to do the whole law. Not part of it, the whole law. Christ has become of no effect to you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. Of you that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness through faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which is active through love. That's all there is. So that circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. That was under the law. That was shadows and types of stuff that would become today. Okay? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, verse 26, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Let's look at Acts 10:34. He says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. How about that? It's not about the circumcision. Whoever perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that reverences God and works righteousness is accepted with him.
It's not like that outward thing where they say they're going to church and they got saved.
No, it's what you do in your thinking process. Okay, verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is through is from nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you, who through the law, the letter and circumcision do transgress? So he said even the uncircumcised people who have through nature are uncircumcised, they will judge you if you, by the law, transgress the law. And you have the circumcision, the Jewish culture and everything. The uncircumcised, the Gentiles, will judge you. Didn't Paul say, know you not that you'll judge the world and even angels? Verse 28. Because he is not a Jew which is one outwardly or in the flesh. Okay? And that word, literally, let me say it again. Because he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, and literally the word doesn't say in the flesh, it says in the concealed. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Daggone it, I got my words tested again. I got two verses that are so close together you can't tell them apart. There's not space there, and I'm looking at one and seeing the other one. Do 28 again. Because he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, okay, in the apparent or the external. Okay? That flesh where it's external, where you get apparent or external, neither is that circumcision which is apparent or external in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly or in the concealed, is what there's actually three words there. In the concealed, three different words. And circumcision is that of the mind, the heart, the mind, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but from God. So you don't get your praise from man, you get your praise from God. Okay? I want to go back and show you something that for years it bothered me that the church world always said that, you know, that God was after the natural man in the Old Testament and the spiritual man in the New Testament, which is not true. It's always been there. Those were just shadows and types. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 10:16. Huh? Okay. 10:16. I'll read it for you. If you want to just write these down, I'll read them. You can check them. It says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Did he said circumcise what?
Foreskin of your heart.
Mind. Uh-huh. See, wasn't the natural. And that's in Deuteronomy.
That's when they were laying it down.
yeah. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. I'll show you some witnesses. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart. Who's going to do it? And the heart of your seed, to love the Lord the God with all your heart and with all your soul, and that you may live. Who's going to circumcise your heart? Not man, but God. They got it all backwards, don't they? Jeremiah, huh?
Even in financial,
they're hitting the wrong end. You got that right. Okay, let me get Jeremiah here and show you something. Jeremiah 4 and 4, I said, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Jeremiah 4, 4. This one, there it is, Jeremiah 4. Okay, Jeremiah 4, 4 says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench because of the evil of your doings. He said, circumcise the foreskins of your heart. Your mind. So was God ever talking about the natural man? And there's one more, Colossians 2, 11. Colossians 2 and 11. I'm going to read several other verses with it, but start at 2:11 through 15 or 17, I think, 11 through 17. It says in Colossians 2 and 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision without hands. Okay, with no hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh through the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I like that, all.
I like the next one.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that means the law is done. That was against us, which was contrary, or literally was an adversary or opposed us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It's a done deal. And having spoiled rulers and powers or authorities, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of holiday or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is from Christ. The body is the Christ. See, everybody's saying everybody is the body of Christ, but he's saying the body is the Christ, but it's only that first fruit group. Anyway, that's some good stuff. There's some good stuff to understand that there's so many lies that we've been told, and we pick up this stuff that's just horrendous. And what's amazing, people that have no understanding will kick you in the teeth about it.
Yeah.
They'll kick you in the teeth about it. And I think Peter, let me see if I can find this one in Peter. This is the perfect, there it is. Yeah, turned right straight to it. That coincidence, isn't it? First, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Now, make it 15. Yeah, go 15, get the whole thing. And concerning the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation or deliverance, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as in all his epistles, speaking in them, concerning these things in which are some things hard to be understood. Now we're talking about the Apostle Peter who walked with Jesus all through his life on the earth, right? He said, which they that are unlearned or ignorant, what I should say, and unstable wrestle, okay? And literally the word rest there means to pervert or to torture the language in a false sense. And they do torture the language. As they do also the remaining scriptures to their own loss or ruin. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, before, beware lest you also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness or stability of mind. But grow in grace and knowledge, okay? Absolute knowledge, you should say, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. If people would just understand, it's not about what we think it says. We got to know what it says.
When you were talking about that, I flipped on another scripture in Peter where he says, for we were not following out cleverly devised stories when we made known to you the power of only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. But that's what everybody's doing.
Yeah, they're following cunningly devised.
Cleverly devised fables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. And they can read it, and it just goes right over their head. That's okay.
That was good. It went right over my head. That's what they say.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
It didn't go over my head.